All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
An absolutely embarrassing game. Eagles completely dismantled in Tampa Bay, looking unprepared and completely incapable of playing without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Eagles defense regresses again. The turnovers continue. The questions on the season are now looming large in the city of Philadelphia. Welcome in, everybody, to the Jacob Postgame Show. Eagles lose 33-16 in Tampa Bay. That's Dan Cilio, host of the National Football Show, a 1987 national champion on the Miami Hurricanes, starter on that defensive line. We'll be joined in just a moment by John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. I'm your host, Xander Krause. Please give all of us a follow on X. I'm at Real Xander. Big Sills is at Dan Cilio Show, and John is at JF McMullen. Dan, what's your first reaction when you watch a football game like that? I'm an Eagles fan. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed watching a football team go out there and perform and look that unprepared. You have a chance to separate yourself before the bye week, and they show up like that unprepared. It was pitiful to watch. What's your takeaways when you watch a football game like that?
Well, let me put it plain and simple, and I'll use a John McMullen line here. The players allowed the humidity and the heat to play a factor in their effort. It was the worst tackling game I have ever seen, maybe in my entire life. They are the worst tackling football team in the National Football League. That's effort and want to. You know, it's one thing to sit there and look on the offensive side and go, they just couldn't get anything going. Well, you're not going to get anything going when Dotson has one catch and you're expecting him to step in and be a number one wide receiver. Okay. I mean, John kind of alluded to that. You kind of understand a little, not a lot, about the ineffectiveness of the offense, but there's no excuse for the defense. That was just plain out effort that you had a problem with. My problem was with the effort that you had in that game defensively. Listen, John alluded to it. Dude, when you got that many guys out on the offensive side, you kind of go like this. Shit, did you think they were going to get a lot of consistency? Probably not. Okay? But the defense, there's no excuse for Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter being a non-factor. The Bucs were one of the worst rushing teams in the league, and they methodically went up and down the field on them. Baker Mayfield looked like John Elway. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were absolutely a mismatch to the entire secondary of the Philadelphia Eagles. And on top of that, the edge rushers, Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff, once again, SOS. I mean, I get it. Reed Blankenship was getting destroyed. Went out of the game. I don't know what his status is, but dude, that effort on defense, John, I'll say it to you, man. That's the worst tackling football team in the league. They can't get anybody on the ground. We're not talking about the Kansas City Chiefs here. We're talking about the Bucs. The Bucs have some quality players. But boy, I think the humidity, the heat, all of that started playing a factor. Guys were putting their hand up. That was an absolute, and to use a John McMullen line, you can't blame coaching on that. That is nothing to do with coaching. That's fucking effort. Going out, putting a guy on the ground, there's nothing coaching could have done in that game. That is, so when I hear people going, blame Nick, fire Nick, Nick had nothing to do with that embarrassing game today because the players laid down. The offensive guys did the most they could with the limited talent that they had. There's no excuse for that defense. And if you blame a fucking coach today, you're out of your mind. That was player effort.
Stan Cilio, yes. I said the same thing at halftime.
That's player effort.
Yes.
John, Eagles absolutely dismantled in Tampa Bay, looking unprepared, I thought, and completely incapable of playing without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Your thoughts when you watch a game like that?
Well, I do think they were unprepared. So, you know, I'm going to go the other way as I usually do. I mean, yeah, you blame some of it on the coaching. Where I'm on board with Dan is like, this is players first, players first, players first. This was a pathetic performance, especially early in the game. And especially from a tackling standpoint, I don't know what it ended up as. At some point it was, they had missed 11 tackles. I stopped counting at 11, and it was mainly N'Kobe Dean and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, some Reed Blankenship, some Avonte Maddox mainly. I mean, these guys are just missing tackles left and right. In a case of certain, you know, Reed's typically a good tackler. And then when it's a self-fulfilling prophecy when it's 108, 110 on the field, and you're out there for this inordinate amount of their plays. It ended up 74-56 Tampa Bay. Oof, but the Eagles kind of evened that up. It was worse. I mean, they just couldn't get off the field, and the offense couldn't, you know, it was three and out, three and out, three and out to start the game. So, you know, they got in too big of a hole. They got a few things happening with tempo a little bit. And it doesn't look as bad as it really was because of the score, 33-16. It could have been much worse. You had the 2 point. That was a nice play. Isaiah Rogers, Kalen Ringo teeping up to get 2 points the other way. I don't know how many sacks Tampa Bay ended up with. I think it was six or seven. I mean, Jalen Hurts holding on to the football is a common theme when he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So you can imagine. When we're talking about, all right, I had Jahan Dotson finally showed up a little bit late. Paris Campbell had his 4 for 17. I think I said 2 for 13. So I was right in that. John Ross got a catch. Xander's boy, Johnny Wilson, went 0 for 2. Unfortunately, left with a potential concussion. I mean, that wide receiver group is not NFL worthy, let's be honest. So from that standpoint, you're up against it. Saquon had the big run. You know, he's a home run hitter. Didn't quite get to 125, I don't think, Xander.
No, he did not.
So you're.
I was hoping for it, honestly, as a silver lining in this football game. Maybe we could cheer the people up going into the bye week with a giveaway.
But Xander, if you take that big run away, the Bucs shut him down.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but that's Saquon. I mean, and people are right. You're you know, from the efficacy standpoint, yes, of you know, it might be one run, it might be a yard, it might be 2 yards, it might be a yard, it might be ugly for a while, and then bang, you get the 59 yarder. So I don't have a problem with that. That's part of, but you know, this should have been a Saquon Barkley game, and at the end of the day, because you got behind, you only had 10 carries.
Yeah.
You know what else, John, aggravates you in this game too is that Tom Brady was saying it. Too many uncontested throws. I mean, that bullshit too high safety thing against Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Holy cow. How many uncontested throws did he have in that game? I mean, Baker Mayfield has gotten a lot better, but that much better? I couldn't believe who I was watching in the game. I mean, 370 some odd yards, whatever he had in the ball game. I mean, It was unbelievable, the numbers that he ended up with. I mean, 347, 30 of 47, two touchdowns, even ran one in. John, too high safety with no pressure. You're not gonna contend for anything if you don't come up with pressure or some way to rectify that. I mean, he's so afraid to bring blitz and pressure because he doesn't want to leave guys on an island. Jimmy Johnson says this all the time about zone defenses and those two high safety defenses. You're either going to have a quick death with man coverage or you're going to have a slow death with zone coverage. That was both. I mean, that was both today.
They managed to do both.
I mean, yeah. The game was never competitive.
Yeah, it really wasn't, and it's a shame. They did, you know, I did, you know, Xander and I were talking about halftime. We wanted to see a little bit of life in early in the second
half, and they at least did. Yeah, they at least did. They at least did. In the first drive.
And then the defense came back out. As you're right. So this is not going to be leading the Vic Fangio resume reel, this performance. And it's a problem. The tackling, the inconsistency, you know, in theory, I think, you know, if you look at individual players, we've kind of said this, you know, you say, well, Quinion's doing pretty well for a rookie. You say Reed Blankenship's playing pretty well. Jalen Carter, certainly against New Orleans, little pockets for N'Kobe Dean at times, not today. Zach Bond has had two good games, two bad games. You see these little pockets of play and you say, well, it doesn't look that bad at times on the defensive side of the football. And it's supposed to be, you know, as a defensive player, Dan, it's supposed to be, you know, greater than your sum of the parts. It seems like the sum of the parts here are greater than the overall, because it's just not clicking. And I talked about this particular scheme for a long time. People who've listened to me, I think it was great in its time, and I think it's outlived its usefulness a little bit. I think teams have seen it too much, and it's a little bit easier. It happens to every life cycle of every defense. It happened to Tony Dungy's cover two. It happened to Pete Carroll's cover three, and it's happened to Vic Fangio. And I think you have to shift a little bit, and Vic does at times. Like in New Orleans, he brought out the six-man front. For whatever reason today, it just didn't look good from the start. And it never got any better. And maybe that's just simple, as I said. When you don't tackle, it's pretty hard to play defense.
It's just, and you know what, too, John, N'Kobe Dean can't cover. I mean, come on. He
can't tackle either today.
He had a nice play in the middle where he filled the gap. He did a nice job on that. I mean, they're too spotty, though, for me. And he's missing tackles. He can't cover. I mean, they were spinning him around when it came to guys. The Bucs have marginal backs.
They didn't look marginal today.
No, hey, that one kid White, I'll tell you what, man, he's got some pretty damn good hands. Rashid White, that kid
Does Irving. Irving looks like he's got Irving's a rookie. He seems like he's got a little bit more juice than White, but White's and Tom Brady mentioned it on the broadcast, obviously played with him. He's got good hands, so he did do a good job in the receiving game. And they, you know, they made guys miss. Everybody made guys miss.
Hey, John, I didn't realize Godwin was that good.
He's been playing great early this season.
You said it prior in the pregame. Yeah. You were like, he's having a really great start to the season. Boy, I'll tell you what, his hands, his ability to run routes, man, I'll tell you what, he's an underrated football player. That guy can play. Again, though, man, this goes back to those two fat guys in the middle. You can't allow the environment. And you played at Georgia. You know what you're getting into in September. You know what you're coming to in Tampa. You know that. That was an absolute, as great as they played in New Orleans, that was an effort, man. I mean, they gashed them. Terrible effort by the two defensive tackles, and it affected the linebacking play, and it affected the pressure. Mayfield, I don't know if he was touched in the first half. I mean, it was just an out-and-out, all-out.
Yeah,
not much. John, I'm more pissed off about the defense because I get the offense with the missing pieces. I'm not saying that there's no accountability on that side of the ball, and Hurts has got to improve with his pocket presence because
the pocket presence is bad. I agree with you. It's got to be the defense first to blame for this particular performance. But I mean, and hey, look, I'm going to give Jalen Hurts every excuse he needs or wants or whatever, because obviously he didn't have a lot of playmakers. But you know that coming into the game. You know you got to make quick, sharp decisions. Ball's got to be out of your hand. Now, if you're going to do some different things and run some RPOs and zone reads, and that's a little bit different. But when he's dropping back, he's got to make quick decisions. And guess what? If the football's not there, then all right, live to play another down. But this constant, you know the blitz is coming. You know Todd Bowles. You have that history against him. And six sacks and so many of them, the bumble especially. I think that was Lavonte David. And he actually circled around.
Lavonte David.
He is a tremendous football player. Yeah.
Beast today. John, now get this. Bowles is 4-1 now. It looks like the kryptonite. That guy is so great at bringing pressure. And I will criticize one thing when it comes to the coaches on the offensive side. If you know you got half your team out, why are you dropping back seven? Why are you not doing what the Bucs did with Baker Mayfield and three-step to five-step drop to get that ball out quick to be able to at least try to alleviate some of the pass rush? I mean, dropping him back seven steps when you got half your team out, and then by the time the game kind of was winding down, even Mulata got destroyed on the outside on a pass rush where a guy hit him. I mean, that was just a piss-ass effort. As the game went on, it looked like they were mentally beat.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that as the game went on. I mean, the heat is the heat, right? Obviously, Tampa Bay is going to be a little bit more prepared for it than Philadelphia. But anytime you're in that kind of weather, it's going to affect both teams. And I think the big part of it was Tampa Bay was able to create that large margin, which, again, at the end of the game, it was 74 plays for Tampa, 56 for Philadelphia. Early was worse than that. So as you see, guys, and yeah, guys are going to need, they were doing IBs yesterday, evidently, to get them prepared for this because they knew how hot and humid it was going to be. The Eagles I'm talking about, I'm sure Tampa Bay did the same thing. Well, you're going to have cramps and you're going to have those types of injuries and even heat exhaustion and all that kind of stuff. And the best way to deal with that is to get back on the sidelines and try to get in some kind of shade. Tom Brady has that makeshift sort of, roof they put on the benches there that he sort of created when he was there. It was bad from that standpoint, but both teams are playing with it. And again, Tampa Bay is a little bit more used to it. So it's understandable that they have a slight advantage. But I can't really give that. It's same thing when we talked about the field in Brazil, because both teams are playing on it. Same thing when we talked about the field in the Super Bowl. I can't use that as an excuse. I'm sure the Eagles won't use it as an excuse, but it is an explanation. Guys are going to be tired. Guys are going to be a little bit worse for wear, and maybe that explains some of the tackling issues later. But the tackling issue started from pretty much play one.
Absolutely. And, John, Brady made a point that really pissed me off, and he was right. The sense of urgency with that team today was nowhere. I mean, he goes, they need to speed this up here. When you're down like that, you need to speed this thing up here, especially in the second half. They were just like gallivanting to the line of scrimmage. They didn't have a sense of urgency. Hey, and just like you said, you don't want a loss like that to carry you in. Now, they are going into a bye, which is great, okay? But at the end of the day, what you don't want to do is that's my last tape I have on film that my coaches are watching of me going into the Cleveland game coming out of the bye. Really? You never want to put tape like that on film. And it's lazy tape. It's, getting beat by Atlanta, John, you and I could debate that shitty call or a call at the end of the game, and you and I could go back and forth on that. But getting run off the field with bad tackling and lack of effort, in my opinion, or how about this? I'm not lack of desire, but it's just they got worn out mentally and physically, and you watched it on their faces. Let me ask you this, John. Did you see anything different in that?
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Eagle team today than you saw in that playoff game. Did it not resemble exactly that playoff game that you saw today?
Yeah. If I was there, I was at the playoff game. I was not there today. I would have heard probably the same thing I heard last year from a high level Eagles executive who said, fucking embarrassing. That's what it was in the first half today. And by the time it was the second half, all right, you can talk about this and that. That's extended garbage time. And I got Green Bay and Minnesota right now. That game's still going on. You know, in that game, the Packers fell behind 28-0. They're still in the stinking game, biting and clawing. And there's a couple minutes left, and who knows what happens. In the modern NFL, look, I think it's fair to say, you know, the explanation for this is pretty obvious in that you don't have A.J. Brown and you don't have Devontae Smith. And so moving forward, you can't really pin this off and say it's going to continue to be like this, because when those two players get back on the field, guess what? It's going to be completely different from an offensive perspective. But I want to see more perseverance from this team, and I'm not seeing perseverance from this team. And again, I bring up the Packers. They just scored. It's now 31-28. They're going to try an onside kick. Maybe they get it. Maybe they don't get it. But they're biting and clawing till the bitter end. I didn't see that from the Eagles for most of this game.
John, this is
guys. Let's go.
This is Hurts' 27th turnover since last year at the start of 2023. What do you make of that?
Well, all turnovers aren't created equal. I say all this all the time. You know, if you go back to last week, the interception, I don't think was his fault. If you go back to Green Bay, the interceptions, you know, throwing across the middle of the field, that's all on him. If you saw the fumble today, that's all on him. To me, you know, that's the only one that, you know, that he almost had a pick six at the end of the game, wasn't able, I guess it was Dean who wasn't able to corral it. But, you know, the bottom line is, though, he needs to take better care of the football. And there's instances, especially in the pocket, especially the fumbles. That to me was egregious. The fumble was egregious because I brought that up earlier, and the fact that Lavonte David actually, you know, went by him on the blitz, and then he's trying to step up, which is normally a good thing that we've been talking about. He needs to continue to do, try to find, I think it was Grant Calcaterra on the seam route, and he's got no feel that, yeah, guess what? Just because Lavonte David goes behind you, doesn't mean he's not coming back. And he was there, and he gets to him, and he causes the fumble. There's got to be a better pocket awareness there.
Jacob Nation is erupting right now about the quarterback. Sills, I'm coming to you with this question. How concerned are you about Jalen Hurts after that type of game? Or, you know, are you without A.J. and Devontae, and you chalk it up to one of those games that you're battling with lesser weapons? You know, and it's just one of those games, or you know, or the people in the chat who are, you know, ripping into the quarterback right now justified in doing it?
Here's two ways of looking at it. To what John said, look, when you don't have your superstar players around you, is that going to affect you? Yes. However, when you don't have your superstar players around you, it also exposes you. And it exposes your weaknesses, what you're not good at. Pocket awareness, overthrows, rolling right, all of that. Bowles had him down to a T. It was an easy game for Todd Bowles and the Bucks because you know why? He didn't have options. And when his options were limited, he went back to doing the things he looked like he did in 21. Okay? I'd like to have seen him run more. They needed more of his wheels in this game because you were not going to get it out of anybody else. By the way,
he looked back to the injured Goddard today when he ran.
Why did you go away from Goddard? Goddard was wide open numerous times in that game. I would have kept force feeding his ass the entire football game. He may have had one of those Britton Covey stupid games, 80 catches for 10 yards. Still, I'm going for that. Okay. But still, it exposes you a little bit. So listen, 90% of the quarterbacks in this league need their talented stars around them. There's like five guys in this league that don't have to have stars like Mahomes or Allen or any of these other guys. There's a hand. And by the way, we'll find out tonight about Josh Allen because, hey, you can beat the Jags without Stephon Diggs. Are you going to beat the Ravens without Stephon Diggs? We'll find out tonight, okay? And you can beat them bum teams like Miami and all that. You'll find out. Tonight, again, today, I learned this from Jalen again. He still has a long way to go, man. His clock, his pocket clock, Tom Brady was talking about it. He just doesn't have a feel for that pocket.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't.
And South Pound Antonio on this week. I mean, he broke it down perfectly. Jalen's pocket, you know, the clock in the pocket is way too long. Right now, Hurts 3.2 seconds to throw, second longest in the NFL and longest of his career. So it doesn't seem like it's getting better.
Xander, but today, Xander, when you have inexperienced wideouts,
right,
those routes are going to take longer to develop versus a guy like AJ and Devontae.
Yep, John, I'll come to you. Your concern level on Jalen. I mean, I know, look, you don't have AJ Devontae. You're not expecting him to be able to throw the ball all over the yard like he does at times when those guys are out there. But your level of concern on QB1 right now, it's a lot of turnovers. really, you're not seeing elite level play from Jalen that we've seen.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, Dan mentioned a couple of the quarterbacks that can uplift their teams. You know, Patrick Mahomes being number one. You see Patrick Mahomes struggle in the past. Josh Allen, you've seen him struggle with some of the recklessness trying to pick up his teams. Look, I say it all the time. I've seen Jalen Hurts pick up this team and drag them across the finish line when they're not playing with – when they are playing with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they haven't been playing well. You go back to the Super Bowl season – everybody's got this revisionist history. Like everything was great. Nothing went wrong. They were playing terrible in Indianapolis that year. He drug them across the finish line by himself. They were playing poorly in Houston. He did a lot of things himself. So he's capable of doing that. But what I don't see is elevation of lesser players that I saw from, and this is an unfair comparison for everybody because he's one of the best of all time. And that's Aaron Rodgers, who would elevate. It didn't matter who it was a receiver in his prime. Those guys were going to put up numbers. They were going to make plays. He would elevate them. Do I see that from Jalen Hurts? No, this was a perfect opportunity to do that with, you know, he had the one seam pass that was nice to Grant Calcaterra. Had the nice, you know, extending play, finds Paris Campbell in the end zone. You finally get Jahan Dotson involved a little bit late in the game. But it was already over at that point. Johnny Wilson had two targets, wasn't able to get a catch. I don't see that. I don't see that. Doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback because you're going to have both sides of it. You're going to have people killing him, and I think those people are going to go too far, and you're going to have people that say, oh, no, you can't criticize Jalen Hurts. I mean, yeah, you can. He's not. You can't overcome the situations they were in today the way Jalen Hurts was playing.
John, the Barkley throw, he missed them completely. He was
wide open, close. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to see more of it, I think, too, in the All 22, where there was dudes open that Jalen just never got to. Now, granted, I'm sure you're seeing ghosts out there when you know you don't have AJ and Devontae. So I get it from that perspective, but and Lane Johnson, who, you know, Fred Johnson, for as good as he was last week, was not the same. He was a big drop off.
See, Xander, there lies the difference between frontline guys and second team guys. You're going to get a really good performance, and you're going to get those performances, but there's a reason you're second team. You know why that is? Because those guys that are in there were first team guys who can do it on a consistent basis. I'll tell you this, one thing that was exposed also, good grief almighty, Cam Jurgens goes down, you slide Dickerson over. Okay, does that help you at the guard position when you got Tyler Steen and whomever on the other side? Boy, that's a lesser group. I mean, that left side is the flank of my quarterback, and do I want my quarterback getting hit from the blind side like that by moving? And I get it. I understand it. He was drafted – initially to take over for Kelsey, but boy, that showed me a little bit of thinness there, especially at the center position.
Well, yeah, I was a little surprised they just didn't go with Nick Gates, so that's a little bit of a surprise. I don't know what the thought process. That's why I wish. That's one of the reasons why. That's why you want to be at the game, because that's strange to me. That's strange because. Typically, and I mentioned it before the game, when, you know, a bunch of people asked me, why not kick Mekhi Becton out to right tackle to replace Lane Johnson? And, you know, Mekhi's a natural tackle and put in Tyler Steen. And from all indications, Jeff Stoutland constantly tells me he doesn't want to back two positions if he doesn't have to. And all of a sudden, Cam Jurgens goes down with some heat issues, and he's moving Landon Dickerson, putting in Tyler Steen. So you're affecting two positions. That's a little bit strange to me. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't. I know Landon can play center. Landon's probably their second-best center, and he might be their best
center.
Yeah, he might be their best center. I mean, he played center at Alabama, for those who don't know. He played center at Florida State. He was an All-American his final year. That's nothing against Cam. Cam's playing very good football, and Landon's a Pro Bowl left guard. But the fact that they made that change, and Cam came back anyway, sure, you're only doing it for a short period.
And a game that was out of reach too, John. Why? Maybe
they just wanted to reward Tyler Steen and get him on the field for the way he played. They want to rebuild his confidence. I don't know, but it was strange to me. That's typically not the way that Jeff does business, and I can't really explain why he did it.
That's how you get guys hurt too. I mean, it doesn't make sense that you put him over there for 10, 15 plays or 10 plays. When the game you're down 17 points and you're like, dude, let's run the clock out and live another day here. You know, as that stuff was winding down, I heard you guys, because I checked in on the halftime, and I heard John say, let's see what they do in the first drive. Barkley takes that thing down the sidelines. I was actually
great first drive. Yeah. Hey,
I was actually glad, John, in the third and fourth quarter, late in the third and fourth quarter, that they just stopped handing the ball to him. I took him off the field because it was.
Yeah, I agree. Once, you know, I kind of mentioned that before the show, you know, about all the touches in the pregame show, about all the touches, you know, you're going to have a couple games where you're probably up two scores down. Unfortunately, this was the one you were down two scores, and it kind of takes care of itself because all of a sudden he's only got 12 touches, you know, but that's not where you want to be. You want to be giving them the football in the fourth quarter because you're trying to win a game.
Especially considering you don't have AJ and Devontae. You thought it would be a big day for him. I mean, it was the opposite.
And, you know, it was the opposite. And that's the thing. It'll take care of itself at times. This is the type of game you didn't want it to take care of itself. And it did from a negative standpoint. But that first drive, I mean – It was, you know, bang, bang, bang. And they, and you start to think, well,
you're down 10, you're in it.
Yeah. All of a sudden you got, it was 5 plays, 70 yards and 59 of them were on the first play, which was
the turnover killed the whole momentum after that. They had momentum going. And when the turnover happened, that was the end of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you want to see, you want to see, so coming out of that drive, it was 24-14, and you're kicking off to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay's got, you know, a long drive, and it's like, that's where the defense needs to step up. And if you really, you can see, you Dan, you've been a part of this, you're up big lead 24-7. You can see, oh boy, here we are, 24-14. They're kicking off. If you get a three and out, all of a sudden the pressure starts to shift a little bit to the team that's saying, oh, the snowball's coming down the hill a little bit.
Momentum's a real thing. Momentum's a real thing.
And they just couldn't get off the field. Yep. I mean, it was, you know, if you think about it, so Mayfield comes out, first plays, quick pass to Shepard for 3 yards. Then it's an incomplete pass to Mike Evans. You got third and seven. Third and seven.
You had it.
Off the field, momentum, everything's your way, and Baker Mayfield scrambles 10 yards first down, and they're off and running again. And even then it's, you know, White has a nothing carry, incomplete pass. Then it's third and 11 and it's Chris Godwin for 15 yards. It's like, get off the field. Yeah. Two opportunities to get off the field and they couldn't do it defensively. And that was the one point in the game where you said, maybe they could get back in this. But they had to get off the field and get the football back to the offense. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Ended up with the Irving touchdown. He went in first. They thought he was in, overturned it. He went in again. And all of a sudden, it's 30-14. Should have been 31-14, but that was one of the few highlights. Isaiah Rodgers, really nice job coming off the wing for the field goal.
Playing hard. Point.
The Pat block and Kelly Ringo did a great job scooping it and scoring for the 2 points, but not allowed to. When that's a highlight, when you get a 2 point going the other way, it's probably not a good day.
Hey John, also, I'll tell you that I don't know what, and maybe this is the first time, Xander, that we've said this in probably a year and a half, but what was going on special teams? I mean, the lack of communication on special teams back there. One of them cost the Eagles.
Yeah, that was Rodgers too.
Almost cost them again. I mean, there was just a lack of communications on that side of the ball as well. You know, you could really make the argument every single level of the football team that showed up to Tampa had a lack of communication on the offensive side. And again, I'm not ever an excuse guy. You kind of get it, though. Defensively, there's no excuses. In special teams, there's no excuses. It was just a poorly executed football game from the top down, starting with players and coaches. You always start with the players. You go to the coaches. And it was just, I mean, they got off the bus together with their heads up, and they get on the bus with their heads down, all of them.
No doubt. Let's get to our commercial break. Appreciate everybody being here. We're going to get to all of our super chats. I'm going to rattle off a couple. I'll tell you guys, the echoes are getting bigger on coach and quarterback, as they always do on any football team. The coach and the quarterback first in the spotlight. A lot of people, a lot of super chats coming in, you know, on Jalen Hurts, not happy with what the quarterback has been, you know, Claire Avoy checking in, Caleb Brunson checking in, or Brandon. So a bunch of people checking in. We'll get to all super chats later in the show. Great initial takeaways there from Dan and John. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk more about Jalen Hurts. We'll talk about Nick Sirianni. We'll talk about Vic Fangio. And what his defense is up and down, up and down. So
the no holes defense. Wow.
Yeah, no holes defense. Big Sills did not show up to this one. So let's get to our commercial break. Appreciate everybody in the chat. That's Dan Cilio. That's John McMullen. I'm your host, Xander Krause. The Jacob Postgame Show will be back in 3 minutes.